evening, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Half-Hashed. My name is Craig Schneider. That gentleman 1,850 miles southeast of me is, you guessed it, Mr. Kip Fisher. Haven't gotten rid of him yet. And we are coming to you live for the 191st time this 22nd day of February 2019. Mr. Fisher, how the heck are you?
I'm Burr to Midland.
Burr to Midland. I think I've heard that one before. You got to get your hillbilly dictionary ready before next week. Next recording.
I ran out of those things like 30 episodes in. They all get recycled.
You know, I'm sensing a theme. I asked my wife tonight about, hey, where'd you get that massive pink bag that was in our closet when I was starting to do some laundry? And she said, are you kidding me? I brought that out on Monday and showed you that our youngest son, Liam, could get in there. I have absolutely no memory of that happening, Kip. None whatsoever. And it was just Monday of this week. You're such a turkey.
Welcome to the club, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Every day.
You know, I try to write it off as a, honey, I want to remember the important things that you tell me. I'm sorry if a free yoga bag that's large enough for our son to get in is not something that sticks around. I apologize. She didn't like that.
I only have a certain amount of space in my mind. I don't have room for a lot of the extraneous information.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, and you literally have something taking up space up there. So you actually can use that excuse.
I do, despite popular belief that there's nothing in my head.
I have the MRI to prove it, honey. There's something taking up space. Who thought that we could sustain brain tumor humor for like 120 episodes?
I know. It's been, holy crap, over 4 years now talking about this stupid thing.
That's just stupid. I can't believe it's been that long. Well, I'm glad that it is minor enough that we can still joke about it and not major enough that you get upset with me that I make light of it. So somewhere right in that middle, that sweet zone.
Yeah, if you can't make light of it, you just die.
I mean, literally, that's true. I mean, let's be honest. If you can no longer...
I just mean life in general.
Oh, okay. I do agree with that completely. We got a call from a mother of one of my son's friends, this little girl that my son is friends with, was doing like a joint art project with my oldest, with Luke. And so we get this frantic call from the mother tonight, and she's talking to Ellie, and I'm like kind of hearing across the room the like loud, frantic voice of this woman as Ellie's holding the phone a little bit away from her ear, talking about how her daughter had this joint project at home and the mom didn't realize what it was. And so she just thought it was an art project that her daughter was working on and threw it out. And so now this little daughter is freaking out. This little girl is absolutely freaking out that Luke is going to hate her forever because her mom threw away the art project. And like the little mundane things that people worry about, I just don't know how you can function in life when something stresses you out that much. I was so proud of my little dude. He said, well, yeah, I wanted it, but it's all right. I'll have another art project someday. Like, my kid's 7 years old, and he's absolutely got the right outlook on life that, yeah, it's too bad, but what you gonna do? I'll move on. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, that's if I'm going to pass on one thing, I hope I can pass on the fact to him that you just got to keep things in perspective. And he passed with flying colors tonight.
I had a friend one time just flippantly, not even with any kind of meaning intended behind the saying, but he said perspective is the most valuable commodity on the planet, and I'm having a hard time proving him wrong. Most everything, the perspective you have makes all the difference in the world.
Oh yeah. I am going to see the king of perspective next week on Wednesday. I don't know. Next week, I'm going out west to see my old man and go fishing with him, doing one of my annual trips to go out west, hit a different river and catch some trout. And he is just absolutely the best person I've ever met for keeping things in perspective. You could run over his foot with a front end loader and he'd say, "Man, oh man, my other foot's feeling great." So it's just all about perspective.
Yep. Like right now, my perspective is that I'm not a fan of motorcycles, in particular the one that I hear coming down the road. Here we go.
And my perspective is they're not loud and annoying on my end, so I appreciate the background music. It's like a song when you're listening to dialogue in a movie. It's in the background. It's good. It heightens the mood. No?
Yeah. Oh, well. You're doing a much better job at this perspective thing than I am.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, it does heighten your mood. I'm just not exactly sure which one we're getting heightened.
So when you said the king of perspective, I was thinking M.C. Escher. That's my guy.
I have no idea who M.C. Escher is. The king of...
Oh, my gosh, dude.
No, none. None whatsoever.
He's an artist and was masterful at really peculiar ways of drawing things that can't really exist in three dimensions, but they look like they do on paper.
Okay, so this is the staircase guy.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. I didn't know that was M.C. Escher, but now that you describe it that way, of course I've seen those. They were, what were they featured in? Was it, what the heck was it? Inception. That movie Inception?
I never saw the movie, so I don't know.
Are you freaking kidding me? Oh my gosh.
Dude, I go to like one movie a year in a big year too. That's about it. I'm just not a movie guy.
You're dead to me. You live in a foreign country. You don't speak the language like it's your first. You just have to be the sort of person who streams videos and movies all the time. There's no chance you go out and have entertainment other than that. Come on, get yourself a Netflix subscription or something.
I do have Netflix. It's consumed with watching episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine and such things.
Well, I've never seen that show. Is it worth it?
It is. It is. It is the stupidest humor on the planet and is freaking hilarious.
Hmm. Is it like crude stupid humor, something that my wife would not enjoy, or is it stupid humor like just, you know, it's just not overly serious?
It's not overly serious. It's not there may be a slight variance into the teeniest amount of off-colorness on occasion, but it's not a crude show at all by any stretch.
Okay. All right. We always look for something to watch together. Maybe that's something to consider.
Yeah, well, it's just silly.
I like silly. Well, I'll try Brooklyn Nine-Nine. You gotta find Inception.
Okay, I remember the movie. I just never saw it.
It's worth it. It's awesome.
Cool. We're like 15 minutes into this thing and haven't even said a single word about cigars we're smoking. And we're now taking crap about it in the chat room. Maybe we should say something about the cigars we're smoking.
Yeah, but consider the source. If we were talking about the cigar, they'd be asking who were the people they were listening to. So you know, one of those fellas in particular is notorious for being a harassing thorn in our side. I'm not going to say which.
At least he's not talking. Yeah, at least he's not talking about a shirt.
That's right. He shut up about the shirt tonight, hasn't he? Yes, sir. You have. All right. All right. Shall we discuss what it is that we're smoking?
Sure.
It just so happens to be a submission from a lovely listener, Mr. AK Preacher. We have to thank him kindly for this offering. I'm not exactly sure when these made their way to you. Was it Thanksgiving?
I can't not answer that. It was either Thanksgiving or July. I'm not sure if I got these while I was in the States or in the package that came from my mom.
Wow. Well, either way, we received some cigars from AK Preacher, and they happen to be a cigar that is pretty new to me. I've smoked three or four of these so far, and every single one of them has been really enjoyable and unique. But it's a cigar that, other than from AK, I have never even heard of. So it's called the Ramon Bueso. Does that sound like I know what I'm doing, or no?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Thank you. It's the Olancho 2005 Reserva is what we are both smoking. But Ramon Bueso is, I believe, a house blend cigar from Cigars International. So go ahead.
I was just going to say, I believe you're absolutely correct. It was a CI exclusive originally. I don't know if it still is.
Well, I was told there's a little bit of background on this about me smoking one of these recently, but I have been told that they're available, I think, on CBID pretty regularly also. So I don't know if that's just people throwing them up or if CI tries to move stuff quickly on CBID or whatever it is. But that's about all I know about where they're from, at least. But so the information from CI says, we've got an aged 2005 binder leaf from the Talanga Valley and a wide variety of long filler leaves, including selections from 2008 Nicaraguan Esteli, 2010 Honduras La Entrada, 2008 Honduran Yamastran, and 2003 Honduras Olancho. On top of all of that, the wrapper is a Colorado Oscuro Olancho, grown exclusively for this cigar. These leaves were purposefully fermented for a shorter amount of time than industry standard, and the experiment paid off with an absolutely unique flavor unlike any other cigar in the market. So I read that, and my reaction right away is that I'm going to expect these to be really, really strong. If they have not been fermented as long, my guess is they're not broken down as much, and therefore there may be more, the easy answer is more nicotine, but more of the harmful palate-polluting components to the tobacco. And in all of them that I have smoked, I don't get that at all. So I'm a little left scratching my head about what they're doing with this shorter fermentation time thing.
I wonder if that shorter fermentation is only on this on some more components of the cigar. Just because of the way it's worded, it's kind of hard to tell.
I don't know. But I'm also left wondering if maybe they, you know, it's like when you pasteurize something, you can do it at 140 degrees for 90 seconds or 160 degrees for 30 seconds or 180 degrees for 5 seconds. You know, are they doing that sort of a thing? Is this getting up and fermenting at 185 degrees but only doing it for 12 hours or something? I don't know. It's just interesting. So
yeah, I got nothing. I mean, what you read is all I know.
Well, these cigars are just about the most stunningly beautiful shade to them. When they say oscuro, they mean it. They are thick, oily, nearly black, but not dyed in the sense that it's going to leave a mark on your lips. So I smoked, Kip, I don't know what sizes I sent you, but I am smoking the Toro.
Yeah, I believe that's what I got too. It looks like maybe a slightly shorter than I'm accustomed to with a Toro, but that's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah, I just said maybe 5.5 by 52 would have been my guess, maybe 5.75. I did not measure before I lit it up, but.
No, I didn't either. I have another one left. I will try to remember to measure before I post the notes.
Well, these cigars, the reason why we have them was somehow AK Preacher sent me some. We had either traded or I bought some cigars from him and he sent me some in return, something along those lines. And so a couple of these Ramon Buesos made their way to me. I had never heard of them, was intrigued. I thought the band was pretty cool, actually. Might be the largest freaking band this side of Camacho that I've ever seen.
It is. It's the size of those La Serena bands back in the day.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Those La Serenas were nuts. Well, this thing is like a 3-inch square for the majority of it, and then attached just to the top of that square is what looks like what would be a normal shape and size cigar band. I don't know if you can see on the video here, but I mean, it's ginormous, this thing. But anyways, the cigar's got a lot of visual cues to it. That beautiful wrapper, the stunning oils on that wrapper, the huge, huge band, all the sorts of things that just made me maybe do a double take. And as someone who doesn't really get caught up in a lot of the appearance of cigars, that was surprising to me. So I smoked one back, I don't know, 6-8 months ago. And it was blown away. It was ridiculously good. And I didn't know a darn thing about the cigars. So AK told me that they were basically, for lack of a better phrase, bundle cigars. And I was even further shocked. So I had gotten a few more from him. He offered up, I don't know, a fiver or a tenner or something. And they became a cigar of the week for us, and I am very pleased about that. So cool. I don't know if you have any opening thoughts here. You've probably been smoking this thing for 20 minutes, half an hour.
Yeah, or maybe even a little more. The ash, I seem to have lost video again, but the ash is incredibly strong. I mean, it's getting some length on it, and there's not even in variation in direction. This thing is clinging tight. It's a stage 5 clinger, as the guys have named their little device. I'm sorry. Yeah, I got already that name kills me because the clinger means something altogether different to me. But anyway, we talked a little bit before we started recording that the aroma pre-light was very, very mild. There wasn't a lot to it. A little more on the foot than the wrapper, but just not a great deal of aroma. But now that I'm, I don't know, most of an inch into it, maybe even it's a little bit of a wandering burn, although it is firm. It's a little more than an inch on one side, maybe right at an inch on the other at the moment. Let me see what I'm going to take a puff. It is finished, but not a super long-lasting finish. And what I mean by that is it's very clear and it's not crisp in the sense of what we're talking about when we talk about Connecticut being crisp in flavor. But it's a very clean tasting, very clean on the palate. It's not polluting. And lingers for a little while, but between puffs it will be gone before the next puff. As far as the flavors go, a little bit of, geez, I stop short of saying this word because whenever I say this word, you don't like it, but it's kind of a woodsy kind of flavor to me.
I hate that word.
I know you hate the woodsy flavors, but that's what it comes across to as me so far for this much penetration into the cigar.
Hello. It's interesting that you get something woodsy off of this because I go the opposite direction. I get a ton of sweet flavors off of this. There's a darker sweetness, which I have blindfolded, said it was a little bit of maybe a mocha type flavor, a sweetened creamy coffee, or almost you could separate chocolate, but just make it super, super dark without a lot of that bitterness. And then there's a lovely kind of fatty, nutty, sugary sweetness there, which I have in the past described as peanut brittle. But it's different. It's not a super unique, it's not a super common flavor. It's something that I have on multiple occasions said was a little bit akin to kind of fresh Diplomaticos from Cuba. I have had a number of Diplomatico number 2 boxes that have just bordered on that lovely mocha, cocoa, coffee sweetness that some Monte Cristo blends can have. But then it takes it with a little bit of that nutty, almost sugary peanut brittle-like flavor, and it just combines the two of them. This reminds me a lot of that, and at least on two occasions I have thought as much. And again, smoking it today, I get that almost peanutty dessert sweetness, and I dig the crap out of that. I really, really like it. This cigar, I have to say, it took 3/4 of an inch or so to get any of that sweetness, but then it came around to what I have experienced in the past.
That's interesting that you say that, because as we all know, and very much admittedly so, my experience with Cuban cigars is pretty limited. But I don't recall having had any that this reminds me of. I don't recognize this, any similarity between this and anything that comes to mind in the Cuban offerings that I've smoked.
Well, I'll be clear. I don't think this tastes like a Cuban cigar. I think that the Cuban Diplomatico at times can have this peanut brittle, sugary sweet flavor to it. And that is atypical for Cuban tobacco. So while, yes, this does share something to my palate in common with that, I don't think that flavor itself is something that I would classify as altogether Cuban. But you know, Diplomaticos are not a brand that I have gone for on a ton of occasions. A lot of people tend to think if you're going to smoke a Diplomatico, go for a Monte Cristo. They had, at least famously in the past, a lot in common with each other. The blends were pretty similar, but Monte Cristo was generally able to age a little bit better, have a little bit more abundant flavors. But every palate is different. I tend to like this side of the Diplomatico blend a lot.
Yep, that's why they make so many different cigars.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we smoke through this, I'd be really interested to see if you have any experience with that sweetness. I don't get a lot of woodsiness from this whatsoever. So,
well, in my defense, I did say a sweet woodsiness.
I just thought you meant it was really nice. No.
Sweet.
Nah, never mind. Now that
was almost funny.
A dad joke. Yeah. Well, I like these a lot. I also find it interesting that you said the ash was holding on, because mine would go half an inch and then it would separate from the rest of the ash. You know, I might be able to smoke it an inch or so without falling off. but the ash would almost separate from itself in half-inch striations, to where if you just touched it, that half-inch piece would fall off. So mine was not overly clinging. It was not a stage 3 clinger. It was a stage 1.
Yeah, I actually went ahead and tipped mine off in the ashtray. It was beyond an inch. Never did anything like that.
Hey, are you still on the porch with anyone else?
No, just me.
I'd be interested what someone else thought of the aroma of this cigar. I've gone on record before, a difficult time smelling room aroma with a lot of cigars while I'm smoking it. I get the sense that this room aroma would not be appreciated in mixed company. I'll say that. I don't know. Something about this just seems like it'd be funky.
Yeah, I'm going to say something that is going to bad, and I don't mean it that way. There are cigars, and we talked about one of them before the show, before we started recording, Carrera's Biography and the Drew Estate Undercrown as well, that they create a lot of smoke and they have a peculiar flavor, and even more so in the aroma in the room, that you can't tell often if you're smoking it, but everyone else that's not smoking it certainly can tell. It's almost like an oily hydrocarbon kind of aroma that comes from them that some people could find off-putting. I happen to enjoy it myself, but I can't find that if I'm the guy smoking the cigar, because my nose and mouth are full of the smoke itself directly. So that's a different thing than what we call the room aroma, the aroma that comes from the cigar offhand. If you're not the guy smoking it, is a different thing than actually putting it in your mouth and drawing in concentrated smoke. And that is going to picking up the much more diluted smoke within the environment around you.
So while you're talking about that, I'm doing a little experiment trying to take just the slightest bit of a puff and then immediately stop to see if the flavor is definitely different. And it is absolutely borderline off-putting, which is really interesting. It is not at all enjoyable in the sense of what I get from smoking the cigar normally. I'm really surprised by that. I don't know if I'd say, you know, like a rich engine, a rich mix, a fuel mix in an engine or anything, but there's something that's a little, I don't know, edgy? It's strange. I don't know.
Raspy.
Huh.
In the pipe tobacco world, it's this way with most of the what I'll, for absolute lack of a better word, for the natural blends versus heavily cased aromatic blends. Those aromatics are what they call crowd pleasers. They're what everybody smokes them. But as a smoker, you may not appreciate them yourself many times, because the aroma of that tobacco burning is not what it tastes like. And I don't care who comes to me and says otherwise, you cannot convince me that anybody can blend that tastes like cherries. It just tastes like bitter nastiness to me. But it smells amazing when somebody else is smoking it. I love it. So it's a different animal. And in the pipe tobacco world, if you grab a really heavy English blend that's just chock full of Latakia or some other oriental tobaccos or whatever, and it's this really strong, I don't mean strong in the nicotine sense, strong in the boldness of the flavor, it's not generally going to be a thing that pleases those around you who are not pipe smokers. They're not going to care for that smell. They're not going to like it at all. But it's rather enjoyable for the guy smoking it.
You know, there's a curiosity I have about palate fatigue. And I'm wondering if you literally just are overwhelming your senses. I can't imagine that you're literally getting what would provide a different, you know, smoke that would provide a different taste when you draw it in versus what's kind of evaporating off the foot. That'd be pretty interesting to hear that, to figure that out.
Yeah, it is interesting. I'm a strong believer in the idea that the mix, like you mentioned, being lean or rich when you're smoking makes a big difference. That's why I, with cigars and pipes both, mix a lot of clean air with a puff. You know, draw in the side stream, so to speak, in the corner of your mouth, some air with it, because it changes the flavor for me, very much so.
My wife has commented more frequently that when I smoke a pipe, like when we do our pipe show, or if I'm ever down here smoking a pipe instead of a cigar, if I go upstairs where she is, she says that I absolutely reek like dog doo-doo when I've had a pipe in comparison to when I've had a cigar. So I'm not generally the biggest, I don't know, brancher outer when it comes to what pipe tobacco I'm smoking. I've got four or five that I'll generally go through, and that's about it. But so it could just be what it is that I'm smoking, which has lately been a lot of Virginias. But I'm curious if it's more to do with the pipe tobacco just having that much of a stronger aroma to it.
That's funny. I have had, in general, I've had the opposite experience, where if I smoke a cigar, Christy is much more sensitive to cigar smoke afterward, and the pipe will be less bothersome to her. It doesn't hang on me as much as a cigar does. But the one exception to that is what you just mentioned. The Virginia tobaccos, if I go smoke a bowl of some straight Virginia and I come back, she does not like it. She's like, that smells like cigarettes. She doesn't like that smell after.
You clipped out when you were saying what it was that you had smoked.
Oh, I was saying that for her, she doesn't care for the after aroma on me of when I've smoked a Virginia blend.
Oh, a Virginia.
Or a straight Virginia. Okay. She thinks they smell kind of cigarette-ish.
Well, I guess she's not wrong, potentially. I would imagine there could be some burley in there.
Yeah, absolutely. There are many Virginia burley blends on the market.
Yeah. Right, you should tell your wife she's got a super palate. No?
I'm sorry, say that again.
You should tell your wife she's got a super palate.
Oh, no. She has this additional superpower when it comes to cigars. If I smoke a My Father cigar unbanded in the secret, far, far away, she says, "You're smoking a My Father, aren't you?" she doesn't care for that at all.
It's just, oh, my gosh.
Oddly impractical superpower.
Speaking of oddly impractical superpower, this is a hard left turn, by the way. Have I mentioned that a few weeks ago I took Luke to go see that new Spider-Man movie?
You have not.
So over Christmas, they released an animated Spider-Man movie.
I saw that. I didn't see the movie. I saw the commercials for it.
That movie had absolutely no right being as fantastic as it was. No right to be as fantastic as it was. It was almost flawless in how amazing it was for a superhero flick. Awesome. Truly awesome. Cannot recommend it high enough. And I'm not the biggest superhero guy. It was spectacular.
That's
blew me out of the
funny
water.
That you used both amazing and spectacular, the two things that have gone into the titles of Spider-Man comics in the past.
For a long time, I did read comic books, so maybe that was just a subconscious thing. Although I never really loved Spider-Man. I read a lot of X-Men. Maybe I can work Uncanny in later on. You know what I have to say? I am smoking. Jeez. I'm drinking club soda with this cigar. It is really, really good at clearing the palate out. So I can enjoy it a little bit more than I think I would normally. The last one of these that I had was just in my truck. I wasn't really drinking anything. And this is just much cleaner, clearer when I'm puffing on it. I really think this is a good thing to – club soda is a really good thing to accompany this with.
Huh. Do you find that in general with other cigars, or that's something different with this cigar specifically?
It's another level beyond normal. Normally when I have club soda, I feel the effervescence on my palate and it almost feels like it's cleaning me. It might be more of a mental thing. I like water with a cigar, and the fact that this has a little bit of the bubbles, you know, it's just in my head maybe. But this one, my palate feels refreshed more so than when I've smoked these on other occasions. So I don't know. It's just noteworthy enough that it stood out when I just took another drink.
I don't believe I've ever tried club soda with a cigar, but at least stay way the heck away from anything carbonated with a cigar. I just don't care for that.
I normally don't. I'm not a soda guy. Well, I'm not a soda guy normally. And I'm definitely not a beer guy with cigars. I don't think that combination is good. I like a lot of water with my cigars. Water and spirits. And this seems to work really well. So.
Zedman says club soda and a splash of lime juice.
I'd be afraid of that bitterness in the lime juice. It's one of the things I don't like about beer. That natural hop bitterness kind of doesn't pair well with cigars to me in a lot of cases. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
A little sugar in with it.
But I didn't hear what you said. I got a little what?
I said you could put a little sugar in with it to offset the bitterness.
Oh, a little bit of sugar.
Yeah, and if it's just a splash of lime juice, not going to hurt anything.
You know what's pretty good? A poor man's cocktail, a little bit of white rum with a fair bit of lime squeezed into it is just glorious. I don't know.
Isn't that basically a mint-free mojito?
Yes, it is. Well, no sugar.
It's a diet mojito.
It's the keto mojito. Although I don't even.
Oh man, now I think you're onto something.
Copyright Half Ash 2019. leave the soda out, and the vodka is good with just lime juice, gimlet. Oh, yeah, see, I don't like vodka. Every time I have vodka, it just makes me think I'm one step closer to alcoholism. There's just nothing there but alcohol burn. what would you be without listening to me and thinking better of yourself, Kip?
I like you so much. You made me feel better about myself.
Folks who are listening to the podcast have no idea that you were about turning red laughing at me right there. Oh, that was great. Oh, well. And your beard is a little unkempt. You look like you were a belly shaking like a bowl full of jelly away from being around at Christmas.
Well, it is starting to turn a little more white here in the middle.
Oh, well.
Earlier this week, Christy, we got up in the morning and she was getting ready to go to school and I was getting ready to take off for the mountains or whatever. And she's like, you need to fix your beard. I guess I slipped on it. And now all the white hairs here show which way they're pointing when it's smeared across my face. She's like, you need to do something about that.
That was pretty funny. That was Christie's subtle way of saying, or passive aggressive way of telling you, you will not get a kiss today unless that hair gets fixed.
Yeah, you need to do something.
All right, side note. I know that we don't have too terribly much longer for the show, but side notes are fun. It's what we're good at. I have
the whole last 6 years have been a side note.
Yeah, this is still Dog Watch. We're just a massive side note to Dog Watch.
We're still in the planning stages for this podcast we're going to do about cigars.
Yeah, we figured out a whole lot of stuff that's a bad idea, I'll tell you.
We are a cautionary tale.
I, at my job, I spend a fair bit of time in attics, and then it seems like the other half of my time I'm trying to make a good impression with potential clients going out on like sales calls and such. So when I'm in an attic and it's cold outside, an attic is outdoors essentially. So I'm wearing three layers and a stocking hat and long underwear and pants when I'm up there. And then I need to somehow remove enough layers to make it look like I didn't just crawl around in dirty fiberglass for an hour and a half. When I go meet with somebody that I'm trying to get business from. So I have a collared shirt that I just keep with me in my truck or in my office, whatever it is. And my bottom layer is always a t-shirt. And so I just strip down to that bottom layer, put the collared shirt on and take my stocking cap off. And I tuck my shirt in, walk up to a door and I look somewhat presentable. Well, I've gone home for lunch probably five of the last six or seven work days. And I've been wearing this collared shirt every day that I'm going home for lunch. And so Ellie finally says something to me yesterday. Yesterday? Yeah, yesterday. She's just like, "Will you freaking do laundry? You're embarrassing me." Like, no. I'm not wearing the same clothes every day to work. I put this shirt on and then I take it off. And then I put it on when I'm in somebody's house and I take it off when I'm done. This is not what I'm actually wearing for the day. But it...
Let me guess. It's gray.
Oh. It is maroon.
Used to be gray.
Yeah. I earned that one. I'm reading the chat room and think I should have followed a little bit better. I'm not getting the jokes they're using. Oh, well. So I gave you a task. I don't know if you have been paying enough attention to the cigar, but have you got anything remotely close to peanuts or cashews or peanut brittle or anything like that?
Well, I don't know that I would have said peanut brittle, but I definitely can see the sweetened nuttiness, almost like honey baked almond kind of thing, maybe more so than a peanut brittle, because the peanut, it puts a very strong tilt onto the flavor that I wouldn't put there. But that was pretty fleeting. It actually has gone for the most part. I don't have a lot of sweetness left. I do still have some of that woodsiness, at least what I'm calling woodsiness. And the smoke is flavor itself actually is very volatile. And I don't mean volatile in the sense where some people use the word to mean this, you know, implying flammability, although flammability is a thing that corresponds with volatility. I mean, it's volatile in the sense that it seems like you have the smoke in your mouth on the palate, and it makes its way into every nook and cranny throughout your sinus cavity. It just kind of wafts throughout everything. It's very, very palate coating, but not, I can't even use that word and say it's palate coating in the sense that it's just covering up and polluting everything. It just feels like it makes its way and touches every bit of your palate. It is kind of all over the place.
It's pervasive.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Yeah, you know, I is a wordsmith. Anyways, well, I'm surprised by that. I don't get the all-encompassing, pervasive element of this. I maybe can taste some of the woodsiness. It's not nearly an overpowering flavor, but I think it might be the core flavor. To me, the sweet, very sweet, kind of fatty nut flavor. And peanut brittle, you're right. Peanuts have a very specific taste. Just like a I don't know, cashew might be something similar. Almonds, to me, they don't have that same sort of fatty unctuousness, but like a cashew, or even like a I don't know, a Brazil nut, something like that, that just has a lot of that just super richness, but that's sweetened, and I really, really like it. It's just a, I'm smoking this cigar, and the more I think about it, the more I'm wondering if this is going to be my, you know, famous Nick 3000, where everybody else smokes it and is like, what the hell are you thinking? Those are horrible. But Dale Rausch smokes it and he thinks they're the best darn cigar for under $5 you can buy. This might just be a me thing if you're not really getting a lot of that sweetness, because it is pretty dominant, and that's what I like about it. It's every puff, it's got that sweet, fatty, nutty flavor. It's delicious.
Yeah, but well, just because I'm not experiencing the same sweetness doesn't mean I'm not really enjoying the cigar. I'm digging the cigar. I like that thing, that pervasiveness, that what I was calling that volatility, where it really puts a tingle in your nose way, way up in there, way up high, something that doesn't always happen with a retrohale, but it does with this cigar, and I like it.
Me too. Before we get too far in, I want to look up how much this cigar is, so why don't you tell us what the weather is like or something so I can have 2 minutes.
Well, it's kind of cold here tonight in Santiago. Let's see if I can just pull up a quick little weather forecast for you.
My goodness, you're boring.
I just wanted to show you here my current temp.
You're a,
I don't know if you can see that.
You're a Richard, is what you are.
But there is, I mean, there's a light breeze. I had to put some socks on. It's kind of cool.
on the forums on Half-Ashed, DC is on there, and I'm pretty sure every time you post a picture of how cold it is by you and you say, "Brr, it hit 79 today," I'm pretty sure DC is figuring out how he can make his way down by you and dump a bucket of ice water on your head. He is not happy about that.
Nah, he'll be all right. Just because there's a 100-degree difference between here and there some days, no reason to be mad. Well, unless you're on that side of 100 degrees.
All right, so I am looking up the price of these cigars, and they're not as cheap as I expected them to be. They're not expensive, but for what was understood to be a bundle-type cigar. So this Toro is 6x50 is actually what it is being touted as. My measurement was definitely thicker than that, though. Right now, they're on sale for $40 for a box of 10, but regular price, they're $90 for a box of 10.
I think the big thing that people get with these cigars is they will occasionally blow them out for way, way cheap. Way cheap. Like considerably less than $40 for 10. Now, it may not, maybe not this particular cigar. I noticed this is not their standard line. I think the original line was called the Genesis Project or something like that. This one, what we're smoking is actually the Olancho Vintage. which I believe was a subsequent edition that a little more special than their original line. That original line I have seen for very inexpensive prices in the past.
Wasn't the Genesis Project the Wrath of Khan plot? I'm pretty sure it was.
Holy crap. Dude, it's been 35 years since that movie was.
Yeah, I know. But Wrath of Khan, man, were it's you, great.
Were you even born when that movie came out?
There is a distinct possibility I was not born, but I think I was. I'm going to guess it was 84 or so. No. Andex is wrong. V'ger is Star Trek The Motion Picture. That's V'ger. Wrath of Khan, I'm pretty sure, is the Genesis Project, isn't that? Or maybe that's Search for Spock. I don't know. One of them is Genesis Project. I don't remember.
I have no clue in the world.
So, I know it's not the one where they go ride humpbacked whales in San Francisco. I know it's not that one.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Hey, don't give me a hard time about recently getting back into Star Trek. That's my wife's job, not yours.
I didn't say anything, man. You sound a little paranoid, though. A little defensive, maybe.
What did I say about whose job that was? Of course I'm defensive. Yeah, all right. She's going to hear me. Have to be careful.
That's the real reason you have that soundproof, smoke-proof room down there. It has nothing to do with the smoke.
I tried to make it soundproof. My son's bedroom is above me. I don't think that worked very well. Oh, well. Oof, gosh. I'm not going to complain about the weather anymore. Zedman's talking about 20 degrees below zero. Ay. No thanks.
Nope. Not a chance.
Yeah, you are 90 degrees warmer than that right now.
Yeah, and this is kind of a chilly night. Mm. Actually, it feels lovely. It feels amazing to me. This still cracks me up to see all these folks.
Of course it feels normal to you. It's the temperature inside everybody's house in the normal world.
The temperature world. Inside everybody's house here. We don't have AC. So all the doors and windows are open.
That is true. All right. Well, we are getting close to quitting time here. You want to talk a little bit about what pipe tobacco you've been smoking recently, especially because of International Pipe Smoking Day?
Yeah. Sweet. I'm not sure who out there may have celebrated. I did manage to make time for a bowl of something. I don't even recall what I was smoking that night, but it could have been this. The only thing I have on the list to talk about tonight, the Caravan. And folks who've been listening in recent episodes will know that I have been on a Greg Pease kick. And as a further piece of information, that's not really a kick unless you call a kick something that lasts 15 years or more, because I've kind of been in his tobaccos for longer than that, actually. Going back to 2000, 2001. Holy crap. I suddenly feel very old. Anyway, I popped open a tin, and this is a recent tin. This is last, not something out of my cellar. It's something I picked up, I guess, last summer. And it's Caravan. And Caravan was one of those blends that he makes that, for whatever reason, there was always something else I wanted to try first. Let me do this first. Let me go through this series first. Let me do this. And I never got to it. In all those years, I just never got to Caravan. And so I bought this last year and opened it up since our last show. And I just put in the notes, what the heck was I thinking not to have explored this blend 10 years or more ago? It's fantastic. It is a very, very well-balanced blend. It doesn't have – I can read the tin description to you that he puts on this one. A lovely spice up front mingles with delightfully exotic oriental flavors. The smoke. Leathery flavors of Cyprian Latakia weave their way through the smoke assertively, but never in an overbearing manner. That could not be more true. The Latakia is present in this, and you may even go so far as to say dominant in the sense that it kind of defines the blend, but it's absolutely not. This is a middle of the road blend in this style, in the sense that middle of the road doesn't mean it's mediocre. It means this is one of those blends that would fall into a classic category where you know what, if I want to try a blend that features Latakia, but I don't want something that's going to just hammer me, I don't want something that doesn't have enough to really help me get a feel for what Latakia is and what it brings to a blend, this is it. There are a few blends like that. Dunhill made a blend called My Mixture 965, taken from a blending number from the notebooks, you know, 100 years ago or whatever. The 965 was the number of that blend for whatever customer was having it made, and it just caught on commercially and was wildly successful for decades. And it's a classic English blend, and I think that's what this is. And I don't think this has garnered the appreciation that maybe some of Pisa's other blends have, but I think it's deserves a blend that I definitely would recommend to somebody who either wanted to explore Latakia a little more, wanted to kind of check it out, or for somebody that already knew they liked it and just wanted something to appreciate on a daily, regular basis. It's kind of a jack of all trades, yet still a master of some. I think it's pretty dang good.
You know, I think you and I have had a conversation about this before. I initially got interested in pipes because of an old CAO blend. And I keep wanting to say Old Ironsides, but I'm not thinking that's correct.
It was one of their blends.
Maybe that's what it was. Is that a Latakia rich English?
It was. I'm not sure it's still in the market these days. I haven't seen it in years, but very well could be for all I know. But it absolutely was. It was a powerhouse. Yeah, it was very bold in its presentation of Latakia.
Huh.
And if you want to explore that end of the spectrum, you're really into heavy Latakia blends, I would recommend a different peace blend. It's called Abingdon. And Abingdon is a mythical beast of a blend where it has that incredible, huge presence of Latakia when it's young, especially. But if you seal that up or leave it sealed in a tin for 5 years, that seems to be a magic number for me. 5 years, and you pop that tin, it is not going to smell like the same tobacco. It's going to be sweet. Sweet with the Virginias kind of stepped up front, and the Latakia is really kind of taking a step back. It is an entirely different animal, and there are not very many blends I could say change so drastically in the tin in just a few years as Abingdon. And I love it fresh, and I love it at 5 years, and love it at 10 years, and I now know that I love it at 15 years because I've been putting this stuff away for that long. And smoking 15-year-old tins of it within the past 6 months.
Hmm. Is it different at each of those 5-year increments, or really just that first 5 year where it changes completely?
That first 2, 3 to 5 years are an enormous difference, and then much less of a difference between 5 and 10, and 10 and 15.
Oh, okay, yeah. I thought you were implying that it was like a new tobacco every 5 years. But that makes sense.
No. No. And I recommend to somebody that likes that blend to put some aside, but smoke it fresh as well, man. It's just a winner of a blend. I think it's fantastic. It is probably, after Bohemian Scandal, the ill-fated, short-lived blend that burned up in a tragic fire, and not the good kind that happens in a bowl. After Bohemian Scandal, Abingdon's my favorite, I think, if I had to pick.
I think I have
one blend.
of Abington around here. And I thought this was it, but this is Sexton. But I've got an Abington around somewhere I should check the age on.
Yeah, I was buying that stuff. I was putting away tins, and then my consumption of that blend got so high, I just had to start buying and in bulk packaging and breaking it down myself for a long time.
How do you travel with? Well, let's save that for a pipe show. We don't need to get into those fun details. I can talk a little bit about what I've had since our last recording. So what I will say is that I have, I alluded to this earlier, for Half-Ashed, we've got a box pass going on. Half-Ashed.com, the forum, we have a box pass going on, and AK Preacher put a number of unbandits in the box pass. He was the one who started it, and everybody who participates is supposed to take one. So I took one of these cigars and lit it up two weeks ago and was absolutely infatuated with that cigar. It had more of this sweet peanutty flavor than what we're smoking tonight had. And it had been months since I had had a Ramon Bueso when I lit this unbanded, this blind cigar up. And it was glorious. Tons of the peanut brittle type flavor. I told AK, you know, hey, I'm wondering if you sent along a Diplomatico. This tastes like a Diplomatico. And he said, nope, you're gonna be surprised. It is another line from the Ramon Bueso. And it happened to be the Habano Torpedo. The Ramon Bueso Habano in the Torpedo Vitola. And it was delicious. So I think I might enjoy that more than this Olancho, just because it has more of that peanutty flavor, the nutty sweetness to it. But, well, I don't know if that's just that one sample or if it's all of them, but I think I might pick up a fiver of those Habanos to see for myself. I like them that much.
Cool. I can dig it.
Yeah. And any other blends, or you want me to hit this next one that I've got?
No, go ahead. There's nothing else really I got to talk about in terms of what I've been smoking.
Well, I think the last thing we'll hit up tonight is my second cigar. It is a cigar that I loved 2-3 years ago, last I had had it, and I have loved since it came out probably 5 years ago. It is the Padron Damaso, excuse me. It is the Connecticut release that came out, that Padron released. And I have to tell you, it is still the absolute perfect example of a Connecticut wrapped cigar. By far the best balance that I have ever smoked. Crisp bitterness is present, but as a minor flavor and not an all-in sensation or a drying effect that you can often get with Connecticut wrap sticks. I just think that this cigar is the perfect example. When somebody wants to taste cocoa in a stick, light this cigar up. It hits it perfectly without it being too deep, too dark, that you lose a lot of the sweetness and the characteristics. It's lighter, brighter, and easier to detect without being polarizing. I can't recommend it enough. If these things were $3-4 cheaper, I would probably have a box or two of them in my humidor.
Wow. I remember smoking those when they first came out, but I don't recall that they struck me as vividly as they have you.
Well, I like my Padrones. I have had probably better experiences with the Padron Naturals than the Maduros. The Maduros that I've had more recently have been a little bit stronger and borderline harsh at times. But these Damasos are a wheelhouse for me if I'm going to go for that lighter, crisp flavor. Even to the point, some of the crispness that's available in some Habano wrapped Nicaraguan cigars can be slightly off-putting to me, but this one does it right. Really highly recommend. At least give it a try. Spend 10, 11 bucks on a small Corona Gorda that they sell, and just see for yourself if you're on the fence about liking Connecticut's. This one might show you that there's a way to do it right.
You know, the little natural Coronas that we smoked, they're the 64s, the Aniversario 64s?
Yes, they were.
There's not a close second to that being my favorite Padron I've ever smoked in my life. And it may even be that cigar, not that line of cigars, that particular cigar. That thing just hit me as perfection when we smoked those cigars. It was freaking amazing.
Yeah, I still remember your reaction to that being darn near ethereal.
Yeah, or ethereal even.
You're a jerk.
I've smoked my share of Padrones, but I don't ever remember one being that good and that much of what I really wanted from a cigar. It was an amazing moment in time.
I don't like you anymore. Well, I don't want to give the impression that this cigar is similar to that. Even it's definitely different. Those Nicaraguans were, I'm sorry, those naturals were maybe 10, 12 years old when we smoked them, and the 64 blend is totally different from this. But to that effect, it is it's incredibly well balanced and easy to perceive the flavors that the cigar has available in it. So, really good.
Excelente.
Why don't you give us some closing thoughts on what you feel on this cigar, and then we can talk a little bit about our next show.
Okay. Well, I am a little more than halfway through it, and I'm actually more than happy with its performance so far. It has not gotten overpowering. There's no harshness. There's no bitterness. The sweetness, I think I have to admit, has come back a little bit for me. I'm still maybe not quite to the point of what you're describing for your experience, but definitely some sweetness back. Still very, very clean on the palate, which I really like and appreciate. I don't like being just, you know, having my palate beaten into submission with the smoke. So I'm grooving on that. And I really like the sweetness, although I was content without it. I think it adds a dimension to the smoke that I can appreciate. So I'm digging it. Still think I got that woodsy core there for me with the sweetness kind of wrapped around it. But yeah, it's come back in good measure.
Well, I don't have very much more to say. These cigars are terrific cigars. If you can find them on Blowout for 90% off, a couple of dollars a stick, I highly recommend them. So, really good ones. CI did something right here. So, bravo, gentlemen. And, you know, one last thing. We didn't really talk much about the fact that this has got some of the Honduran tobacco from Yamastran, which that's the classic region that the old school Camachos were all from, correct?
Yeah.
I don't get anything in line with any of the old Camachos that I ever smoked. I don't know if that's just me, but I don't know.
Now, the guy behind this brand, this blend, Ramon Bueso, is not a newcomer to the industry, even though these cigars have not been around for decades. He's been around for ages. And if I remember what I read correctly about him, he spent forever in the Villazón factory, which is the producer of a lot of the, freaking parent company for JR now. I don't know. It's one of their factories, down in Honduras. Spent a lot of time making a lot of cigars that everybody out there have smoked and may not know it because he's not the name that was on the face of those companies, but he was the guy behind those cigars, the guy creating the blends. He's been a grower, a blender. He's managed factories. Now he's got his own operation. He he kind of has done a little bit of everything in the industry for over 40 years.
I can't say that I've known very much about him at all. But I sure like this cigar from him.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a fan. I think I have smoked one or two of these over the years and appreciate them at the time, but I really dig it.
Can you dig it?
I can dig it.
Sorry, had to go there. Well, this is a pretty fun cigar for me. One I enjoyed being enlightened by. I like thinking that a modest, inexpensive, easily obtainable cigar is reminiscent of something that I don't have easy access to, nor do I have any in my humidor. So that's always been enjoyable to find out, and this was definitely a cigar that did that for me. So all around pretty good. The last thing that I will say is just about at the end of the cigar for me, I am feeling the nicotine, and I had a nice dinner tonight. So I don't know if that's just this one-off. Maybe, I guess I did eat 4 hours ago now, but I've never had that from this one before. So it's a little interesting, a little stronger than I expected.
Yeah, I'm not there yet, but I could maybe see that happening if I continue on for the couple inches I got left of smoking here.
Cool. Well, all in all, pretty darn good. Thank you, AK Preacher.
Yeah, muchas gracias.
Mm-hmm.
Bueno. What are we going to smoke next time?
You know, I kind of have a hankering to smoke one of those Tat Blacks.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, let's do that.
I like it anytime I can smoke a Tatuaje Black. That's one of my all-time favorite tats.
Good. I know that I enjoy them, but Tat Black is not a cigar that I feel like it's in my wheelhouse. Not that it's not a flavor I don't enjoy. It's just not a cigar that I, you know, can close my eyes and think of what that last one tasted like that I had. So I'm kind of looking forward to burning one of those and getting a little refresher.
Cool. You know what? It's weird. The number of facings of Tatuaje cigars in this city, you could just about number on your fingers and toes. But for whatever reason, the Tat Blacks show up. Two different shops here have them frequently.
Really?
Yeah, it's really strange because a lot of shops back in Florida did not have them. I don't know why they show up here so much.
Are Nicaraguan cigars still overly expensive by you?
Cigars in general are overly expensive here. I just can't do it. It is a budgetary concern, but it's not the thing. I was spoiled by Florida and the lack of a cigar tax, and I cannot make myself go pay double the price I know I could buy that for in Florida here. So when I come back to the States, I stock up, and that's just what I do.
You miser.
Freaking Fuentes. They're made about 7 miles from my house. But if you want to buy them here, it's triple the Florida price, and I'm not going to do it.
It's like a plane ticket that costs less to take a stop somewhere in the middle to have a layover than it does to just fly there straight.
Exactly.
How could that possibly be cheaper? What are you guys doing?
I don't know. When we actually the trip when we made the move, our final flight to move here from Florida, we had to fly from Tampa to Charlotte to Miami and then on down to here. And it was $100 a ticket cheaper to add that Charlotte leg than to just drive to Miami and get on the plane, the same plane, same flight, same time, same date in Miami and fly down. They wanted to force us to fly that other leg, which we did for $400. I'll spend a couple more hours in the air. I don't care.
You should have just bought those tickets and not gone to whatever it's called, not gone on that first flight and just tried to get on the connecting flight.
If I had known I could do that, that's absolutely what I would have done. I would have rented a stinking car and driven to Miami and hopped on the plane there.
Yeah. Oh, well, live and learn.
Yeah. It's in the past.
Brother man, close us out.
Yeah. We are certainly appreciative, folks, as always, whether you're here live with us in the chat room or somewhere down the road. And if you come back next time around for episode 192, we will, as you now know, be smoking the Tat Black Petit Lancero. But in the meantime, if you want to get in touch with us between now and then, you can get us by email to craig@halfashed.com or kip@halfashed.com. Or, of course, join us in our own little corner of the interwebs over on the forum. On the website, again, halfashed.com, and the typical social media things. We're out there and available on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, pretty much any which way you want to find us, we're there. We're like a bad penny. Can't get rid of it.
Yes. And folks, as we so often do, tonight we have another dedication. This one's pretty obvious, going out to my favorite Alaskan preacher man, Mr. Alaskan Preacher. Oh boy, I should have thought that one through a little bit better. AK Preacher, this show's for you, my man. Thank you very much for contributing the cigar, for enlightening me, enlightening us, hopefully, and for your generosity. That is never overlooked and often appreciated. So, to you, my friend, this one goes out. And, in the wise words, the sage words of our fabulous mentor, Mr. Dale Rausch, we say, as we always do, good night, everybody, and thanks for listening.